at the pulpit like 8 minutes early, which might mean something, might not. I don't know. We'll wait and see. But I do have something this morning I want to preach to you. And again, upon our theme of He is our hope. God is hope. The hope in God. And again, everything around us, we could become very depressed and talk about it. Things that are going on in the government, things that are going on in our lives, economics of things. But let me tell you, hope in God. He is the only one we can truly hope in. And I want to emphasize that again this morning in this particular passage. And I really tossed this particular passage back and forth many times and various ways to approach it. So we're going to touch in Romans 15 and we'll touch it a couple of other places as well. Romans chapter 5 as well as 1 John. I just want to, again, share two or three things with you this morning to try, number one, to encourage you. And then number two, to challenge you. And I think every time you come to the services, for the most part, there ought to be some kind of challenge. Amen. And we want to walk away with something we can use throughout the week. I just want to just step right into it. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. The Bible says, "Now the God of hope." Isn't that good? The God of hope. Paul's saying here, he's speaking to the Roman Christians. Again, he's writing to the Christians at Rome. Hope. Hope. And he terms it, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. We do thank you this morning for the opportunity to come and meet in your house. And tonight, this morning, Lord, I have just a few thoughts that we want to share. And I pray, God, that you'd help me to, my mind to be where it should be. And Lord, that we get this thought across. And each one of us would truly put our hope in you, believing in the Lord, we might experience joy and peace. And the hope may abound in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a prayer by Paul. He says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." He's praying just a simple prayer for the Christians here at Rome. Again, I love the phrase, the God of hope. The God of hope. As you think about the Romans and all of their various gods that they worshipped, and in fact, the historians tell us that they had a God they called the God of hope. But let me tell you this morning, there's no hope in a statue. There's no hope in a statue made of stone or of gold or of silver. Hope is in the living God. Amen? Again, just the term there, the way he phrases this. Paul says, the God of hope. The God of hope. The God of hope. By the way, he is the author of hope. Without him, there is no hope. He's the foundation of our hope. He's the builder of our hope. And he's the finisher of our hope. Amen. Amen. Again, notice the joy and peace and hope. Look here again. It says that you all have joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. And we'll go over that some more here in a moment. But can I remind you this morning that joy, peace, and hope are given by the Lord through the Holy Spirit. They're not earned. The hope, joy, and peace the world gives is fleeting and temporary. Amen. But the hope that God gives is lasting, eternal. Amen. I just want to amen myself like 70 times this morning. This is one of those messages, can I just be honest with you this morning? I had a tough time kind of pulling all the strings in. And really there's three strings: hope, peace, and joy. And if you were to take these and pull them in and wrap yourself in them, you'd be fine, wouldn't you? Isn't that good? Just wrap yourself in them. If I've got peace, I'm good. But man, if I got joy, I'm even better. And third, I got hope. Woo! You know, I got it all. I got all I need. And he says simply, listen, he says simply, I will give you hope by way of the Holy Spirit. And not just the Holy Spirit, but the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit has power. Amen. But what I want to get across this morning is it's given. It's given. It's not earned. I like this one. But you know, the peace and joy that the Lord gives, unlike the world, again, is not temporary. But you can drink as much of the joy of the Lord as you want without getting sick. You don't have to worry about a hangover. And with a hangover, the joy ends in the morning. But can I tell you that joy comes in the morning with the Lord? Amen. Joy. The joy the Lord brings. The peace and that the Lord brings. And the hope that abounds. If Paul prayed this prayer for the Christians at Rome, then they must be attainable. You know, sometimes we think of hope, joy, and peace kind of out there in the space somewhere, and we think, well, maybe, or, you know, might. No, he prayed to them that they might have joy and peace. If he prayed that they might have it, then it must be attainable. Can I again remind you this morning that our life was meant to be enjoyed? Our kids were meant to be enjoyed. Our marriages were meant to be enjoyed, not just endured. Man, so many people out there in this world are just enduring life. Oh, if I could just make it to the next day, or if I could just make it to the next vacation. You know, many people use a vacation as escapism. Can I tell you that you can enjoy life every day? Can I tell you that you can have joy and peace and hope every day? That you can actually wake up in the morning and look forward to the day? You lay down your head at night and sleep instead of worrying about your day and what has happened? Isn't that good? That's what the Lord brings. That's the hope the Lord brings. Again, that's not the hope you can get out of a bottle, or you can get through drugs, or you can get through the doctor, or whatever the case is. That's the hope the Lord gives. That joy unspeakable and full of glory. That peace that passes all understanding. That's what the Lord gives us. Can I remind you again? He gives it to us. We don't have to earn it. Peace and joy. Again, if Paul prayed it, it must be attainable. How do we receive them? How do we receive these things? It says there again, it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In believing. Can I tell you these are attained by believing in the God of hope? They are attained by believing in the God of hope. Simply placing our trust in Him. If you have but one object to focus on, that focus should be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing in the God of hope. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. We read it earlier in the year when I preached on this particular passage. The Bible says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Can I tell you that believing in the God of hope is again the way in which we receive peace and joy? But believing in the God of hope is by way of the Word of God. In other words, it's the Word of God that we find the God of hope in Christ revealed to us. Can I say that again? Through the Word of God, we see, we find the God of hope that is revealed to us by way of His Son, Jesus Christ. Hello? In other words, if we are to have hope, if we are to have peace and joy, then we must go to the Word of God that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. It's the Word of God where we find the God of hope who is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ that we attain, if you would, by believing in Him, that we have hope and peace and joy. Can I tell you, it always comes back to the basics? It really does. If you want to live a life full of joy and hope, then the Word of God is the answer. This book, the old black book. Amen. What's wrong with the old black book my daddy used to read from? Amen. The old black book. The Word of God. It's a sure word. It's an eternal word. It's believing that produces joy and peace and hope. But not just believing, but believing in a person and what He did for us on the cross. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came to this earth, born in that little manger. I was reminded again this morning that He wasn't placed in a little basket. He was placed in a horse trough, right? In probably a holdout cave, in a stable, in the least likely place for the Savior to be born. He was born in a stable. He was born in a manger. He was born around horses and cows and donkeys. But our Savior, the God of the universe, came, was born in a manger, lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. I know some of you hear this all the time, but review's the best teacher. Never one time did He have a sinful thought. Never one time did He perform a sinful deed. He was absolutely perfect. For God the Father made Him, God the Son, to be sin for us who knew no sin. He knew no sin. He never sinned. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That we might be made righteous before God in Him. Believing in Him. Believing in Him. His life, His perfect life, His substitutionary death. He died on the cross for me. He paid the ultimate price. Death for me. He shed His blood on the cross for my sins, that my sins might be forgiven. That my sins might be thrown as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered anymore. Amen? That's the God of hope. The God of hope hung on the cross. The God of hope shed His blood for me. The God of hope sacrificed His life for me. The God who made the universe, the God who made all things, humbled Himself, died for me, was buried in a rich man's tomb, but He didn't stay there. Death could not hold Him. Why? Because He had no sins. He paid for our sins in full. Proof of that is, He rose from the dead. Amen. 3 days later, the stone rolled away. Which it didn't have to roll away, but it did roll away. And He rose from the dead. The Bible says now He lives at the right hand of the throne of God, ever making intercession for us. Can I tell you, it's believing in His life, His death, and His resurrection that brings hope and peace and joy. Hope and peace and joy. The work of peace and the work of joy, it's in us. In other words, as we believe and trust in Him, we believe in Him, He brings peace and joy in us. He brings peace and joy in us, which produces hope. The God of hope, believing in Him. In other words, as we go to the Word of God and we see Him there. As we learn about Jesus Christ, some of us from a little kid on up, and we believe in Him, we accept Him as Savior, as I did when I was 6 years old. I trusted in Him and Him alone and nothing else. Then Jesus Christ brings peace. In fact, the crowd there that gathered with the shepherds in the field said, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward man." It's Jesus Christ who brought peace to man. Peace between God and man, and peace between man and man. In other words, Jesus Christ brought peace and reconciled us back to God, who were at enmity with Him, who were at war with God, if you would. We also can have peace with our fellow man. And I didn't give you the context of this particular chapter, but this particular chapter basically is talking about, hey, listen, Paul says, listen, the Old Testament gives us further insight and gives us examples of how God dealt with His people. And therefore, those examples are there for us to teach us how to live and how to do right, right? And then He gives various examples from the prophets of Isaiah and many others of how God not only was dealing with His people, but God was dealing with the Gentiles. And you can go through and you can read it. And there are 3 quotes there from Old Testament prophets about the Gentiles. And then Paul, after verse 15, speaks about how that he was a preacher to the Gentiles. And that, again, as we think about what God is doing for us, listen, He is strengthening us as Gentiles, and referring to the church. He's speaking to the Christians at Rome. He is strengthening us. He is unifying us. He is gathering us, if you would, together. He is saying, hey, let us work together. And you can go over and you read that. It says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on him. He's just speaking about, hey, all right, guys, listen. Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, died for everyone. He didn't just die for the Jew. He died for the Gentile. And that's been God's plan all along. And He is unifying us together. And it is God who gave joy and peace and hope to the Jew. And it is God that gives joy, peace, and hope to the Gentile. By the way, there's only two classifications in the Scripture. There's Jew and Gentile, all right? If you're not a Jew here this morning, you're a Gentile. And it's God who gives hope. He gave hope to the prophets, to the people, the Jews, by way of His prophets. And He gives hope to us today by way of the Word of God that reveals to us His Son. Amen. We have hope in Him. I'll go on to say that that hope that we have when we accept Him as Savior, that hope saves us. Amen. Eternally. But that hope, that salvation that He gives us also sanctifies us. And can I tell you, when you accept Christ as your Savior, you began a journey. You began a journey. You began a race, a marathon, not a sprint. And God is working on us. He is conforming us to the image of His Son, right? Romans chapter 8, we preached on that here a few weeks ago. He is conforming us to the image of His Son. As we grow in Christ, as we grow unto sanctification, and we are waiting, we are looking forward to the time of Christ's return. And we don't have to turn over there, but Titus says that we are looking forward to the blessed hope. Thessalonians, the blessed hope, right? If the blessed hope is over there by the organ, and I got saved at the age of 6 years old, I began this marathon, I began this race. The Bible refers to it as, again, sanctification, that He is sanctifying us. He is conforming us to the image of His Son. As I read the Word of God in my daily devotional life, as I hear the preaching of the Word of God, I grow in Christ. Everyone with me? I grow in Christ. I grow in Him. I'm being nurtured by the Word of God. I'm being nurtured by the preaching of the Word of God, even by the music and so forth. I'm being nurtured. I'm growing in Him. As I'm growing, I'm looking forward to the Christ return. I'm looking forward to the blessed hope, the hope of His return. The God of hope is going to return for me. He is returning for me. But until He does, I have hope, and we've already discussed the definition of hope. Hope in the Bible is confident expectation. I'm not hoping He returns like I'm hoping to have an ice cream bar after church this morning. Right? Because that's probably not going to happen. But I will have a piece of pie. I'm not hoping that Christ is going to return, then it's not going to happen. Hope in the Bible is confident expectation. In other words, I know it's a fact because the Bible says so. The Bible says He's going to return. I'm looking forward to the blessed hope that He is going to return. He could return today. He could return right now, right? But while I'm waiting for the return and I'm looking forward to the blessed hope, I am being worked on by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's working on me. He's working on me. He's working in me and work that He might work through me. So as I'm nurturing, as I'm growing in Christ, this joy and this peace is simply something I receive by way of the Holy Spirit and His power. By way of the Holy Spirit, I receive it because I am feeding upon the Word of God and believing in the God of hope. Right? If you're going to experience joy and peace as a Christian, you're going to have to read the book. You're going to have to put your faith and your trust in the God of the book. Not the God of the Romans. That's what Paul was trying to say. But the God of the book. I am looking forward to His return, and therefore I am reading and I am studying and I am learning about the Lord, and I'm putting my trust in Him, believing in Him, and as I believe in Him, He produces in me joy and He produces in me peace. By the way, That means when suffering comes and when trials comes, I can still experience joy. Because just as salvation is eternal, so is joy. And so is peace. I've experienced some joy, some trials in my own life, and many of you have as well too. I mean, not just small ones. I'm talking about big ones. And it amazes me, even now as I look back upon those, how the joy of the Lord was my strength. It's amazing how the joy will strengthen you. It's amazing. The peace that God gives that passes all understanding. That joy. As I'm on this journey looking for the blessed hope, and God is working on me, that hope, that looking forward, according to 1 John chapter 3, as He's conforming into the image of His Son, He says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear," the blessed hope, when He's going to appear, when He comes back, "when He shall appear, we shall be like Him." Amen. Right? I'm going on a diet. I go on a diet every Monday. Physically, one day, I will be like Him. Spiritually, one day, I will be like Him. I won't have that old nature anymore. I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to the back not hurting, right? Feet not hurting. No more sickness, no more pain, no more death. No more parting over there. It says, "For we shall see Him as He is." Verse 3 is what I want you to see. "And every man that hath this hope," what hope? Every person that has the hope of knowing that Christ is going to return, does what? The Bible says, "He purifieth himself, even as He is pure." One of the greatest motivations, if not the greatest motivation, one of the greatest motivations for living right and doing right is the blessed hope. A person, a Christian, a born-again believer who believes that Christ could return at any moment will be careful how they live. Because today is the day we could stand before Him and give an account. Do you want to stand before Him today and give an account based upon what's going on now in your life? Do you want to stand before Him based upon the actions of this morning and this past couple of weeks? Do you want to stand before Him based upon your life in the last couple of years? "Every man that hath this hope purifieth himself, even as He is pure." He is working on us, conforming us to the image of His Son, sanctifying us, even unto glorification. In other words, one day we will be like Him when He returns. We'll be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, the last trump. The trump will sound, will sound a lot better than that. The trumpet will sound, "The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up to be with Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Christ is coming again. Are we ready to meet Him? Everyone that has the hope of His return ought to purify themselves, even as He is pure. The hope, what is it? What is this joy and peace in Romans chapter 15? Well, joy is inner gladness. It's a deep-seated pleasure. It's divinely produced inward contentness. In other words, Paul said that whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Having contentment is joy. Contentment, even to the point of mirth. It's being content and being happy. That, whatever state we're in. The peace, if we just the basics of peace, is rest. Is rest. Peace is joy resting. Work, with joy and rest with peace. Right? I can spend more time there. We won't. Joy and peace are through believing. You come to know the God of hope through the Word of God, which reveals Him by this. You are led to believe in Him, and through believing that you might become filled with joy and peace. Believing produces joy and peace. Believing fills us with joy and peace. Not experience. Not feelings. Feelings change every day. Hello? Don't they? Feelings change every day, but believing in the book and the God of the book will produce joy and peace. Not feelings, but facts. Hope. Hope is found in the Holy Ghost and His power. Read there again. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Abound in hope. Jesus said that He desired that His joy might be full. How? But full in us. That we might have the joy. That word abound means to go further than you can imagine. Abound. To go further than you can imagine. Hope abound in the believer's life is a product of joy and peace, which is a product of believing. Hope. Do you believe in the God of hope this morning? If you believe in the God of hope will produce joy and peace in you. Right? That joy and peace is produced by believing in the God of hope. Have I said that yet? As you believe in the God of hope, you'll have joy and peace, which produces hope. Abounding hope. What does that mean? It means in the Christian life that you don't have just a little bit of hope. You have a bunch of it. That's Webster's definition right there. You look it up when you go home. Hope. So what? So what? So what? Can you imagine having peace that passes all understanding? As I said at the beginning, you imagine laying your head down at night and not worrying about what's happened that day or how you're going to feed your kids the next day? That's the kind of hope you can have. You know why we don't worry about what we're going to feed our kids the next day? Is because the Lord said He'll provide all our needs. Is that a fact? Is that what He said? Does He lie? No. Right? Well, preacher, you don't know the water bill's due in 3 days, and I have no way of paying it. The Bible says He'll provide all of your needs. I can go home and lay my head down at night and sleep and don't have to worry about the water bill, because I believe in the God of hope. Right? Well, preacher, you have never been there. I've been there. I've told y'all a few stories back when I was in college especially, and you would have the same stories. You know? Eating popcorn and pinto beans and hoping a check comes in the mail. Usually from mom and dad, right? Or grandpa and grandma. Something always happened. Every time we got down to nothing. I mean, every time it happened. God, you know what? And every time that happened, my faith just got stronger. For about 2 or 3 or 4 years, beginning of our ministry in college and beginning of our ministry, I mean, God, just something would happen. When you have hope in God, then you will believe in the promises He's made. He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. Does that bring peace? He's promised that He's not very far from any of us. Acts chapter 17. Doesn't that bring peace and joy? Amen. As J.C. House would say, He's even promised to give you the desires of your heart. That means sometimes He gives you more than you need. Sometimes He'll give you what you want. He's done that for me, especially lately. It's been amazing. Isn't God good? Give us so many blessings. undeserving, that's what we are. We ought to thank Him, love and praise Him a little more today and a whole lot more tomorrow. Man, hope and peace and joy that God gives. Hope abounding in the believer's life. Hope in God. This was Paul's prayer. His prayer was that they might have hope. That they might what? Let's look at it one more time now, verse 13. His prayer was, now the God of hope, what? Fill you. Fill you. He wanted them to be filled. I don't know about you, but yesterday I was filled with Christmas dinner. It was good. We had turkey and dressing and cranberry sauce. I love cranberry sauce. I could eat a can of it. Just take a spoon and maybe you're not that way. But I was filled with Christmas dinner. Can I tell you the way in which you felt that you were filled with Christmas dinner? You can be filled with joy and peace the same way. You say, preacher, I can experience joy and peace even to feeling? Yes. Yes. You might be filled with what? With joy and peace. How? By believing. How are we to believe? I know I've repeated this several times. We're to believe by looking to the Word of God. Looking to the Word of God. Looking to the Word of God, which gives us the God of hope, which describes for us the God of hope in the person of Jesus Christ. And by believing in Jesus Christ, His life, death, and resurrection, we can have joy and peace. And then he goes on to say that you're, and he also prayed that there, that you may abound in hope. How? How are they to abound in hope? Well, they're to abound in joy and peace by believing, and they're to abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. Again, I want to tell you this morning that hope, joy and peace are not earned. They are given. They are given. Do you have hope and joy this morning and peace? Do you have it, really? How are you experiencing it in your life? If not, won't you come down and rededicate yourself in the new year to get back in the Word of God and look there for the God of hope? He'll change your life. You say, preacher, I'm already a Christian. I'm already saved. Can I tell you that He'll continue to work in your life if you allow Him to. Believing in the God of hope. You can experience joy unspeakable and full of glory every day. I'm not saying you will go without trials and sufferings and so forth, but you can experience peace and joy every day of your life. You don't have to endure life, you can enjoy life. Jesus said, I came to give life and to give life more abundantly. You don't have to question and doubt. You can come to the Lord and be filled. I'm telling you, alcohol won't fill the void. Things won't fill the void. Vacations won't fill the void. The Cowboys won't fill the void. Entertainment won't fill the void. Christ fills the void. He brings hope. He gives hope. Christian, can I encourage you? Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace where? Through Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access by faith unto the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience and patience experience and experience hope. And hope, listen to this now and I'm done, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Can I tell you the hope that you have, Christian? The hope that you have, believer, we shouldn't be ashamed of. But it should be shed abroad in our hearts. Can I tell you the hope that we have should be shared with others? Tell others of the hope. Because without the God of hope, there is no hope. And they have no hope. Share the good news. Jesus has come. Share the good news. He's lived a perfect life. Share the good news. He died on the cross. Share the good news. He rose again from the dead. Listen, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Are you saved this morning? Do you have hope? And Christian, this morning, are you experiencing hope? We have a hope, but are you experiencing it on a daily basis? You can. You can. Let's all stand.